You're listening to Consider This, episode 85, for August 18th, 2014.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are, I am so glad that you took 10 minutes or less out of your day to listen in on my conservative commentary and your feedback. I'm Doug Payton, and if you didn't realize that's what you're getting yourself into, well, hey, it'll be over before you know it. This is Consider This, the podcast with the aforementioned commentary done in the aforementioned time limit. Before I mention what I'll be commenting about today, I'd like to point you to the website, considerthis.ctpodcasting.com. That's because I'd like to hear from you and get your feedback on this show. You can comment on the show notes or email me from there, or you can call 267-CALL-CT0, because hearing you speak is always better than hearing me read. That's CT, as in Christian theology. And yes, that's a reference to what I'm talking about this time around. It's religion, politics, and policy all rolled into one. That's coming up. Going to the online store anytime soon? Say perhaps Amazon? Well, if you are, consider using the Amazon affiliate link on the website. You get the same great prices, and some of it goes to support the podcast. One of the things you hear in society is that you should not speak in public about religion or politics. So then, here on Consider This, let's talk religion and politics, and let the sparks fly. Gordon College is a Christian college, and like many colleges of that type, has behavioral standard codes that they ask employees and students to observe for the time they wish to be employed or a student at the school. The school has an official take on certain biblical standards, and they think that if an instructor doesn't believe in those standards, that person isn't really going to be an effective teacher of those standards. And it came to pass that Gordon's president, Michael Lindsay, signed a letter to President Obama asking for a waiver to be granted to Christian schools from Obama's impending executive order. The president had pledged to compel Christian organizations that believe in biblical sexual practices to be forced to violate that belief and hire people who violate those practices. This letter was also signed by Rick Warren and leaders at other Christian institutions, magazines, and organizations. The mayor of nearby Salem did not appreciate this petitioning of the government by Christians in general, and Gordon College in particular. Normally, that would be the end of it. A perfectly legal appeal to the government by one group is spoken out against by someone else. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, the First Amendment wrapped up in a tidy little package demonstrating how freedom works in the U.S. It could almost be an episode of Schoolhouse Rock. There have been indeed others who have spoken out against Gordon College, but the mayor was not content with just speaking. This is the 21st century, after all, and parts of the First Amendment seem no longer applicable. Mayor Kimberly Driscoll is working to get the college's accreditation stripped from their program because she thinks that being a Christian shouldn't absolve you of towing the liberal line. Losing accreditation would decimate the college's ability to draw students. Whatever your view of the usefulness of accreditation, it is clearly something that figures into the decisions of many a high school graduate. Now, if this works, you can be sure that other colleges will be subjected to the same treatment for merely being true to their 2,000-year-old beliefs held by billions worldwide. But she doesn't agree, so she's going to destroy them. And while that's in the works, she's terminated a contract that the city had with Gordon College. The college had been caring for the town's old town hall. They maintained it. They'd give tours to the community and visitors in the area. They had used it for Gordon events, and they had allowed outside groups to schedule events there as well, all part of the agreement with the town. Well, the mayor just nixed that contract, not for cause, but just because. There were no complaints or accusations of discrimination that precipitated this, just spite on the part of the head of the local government. But she's got the power, And if you don't agree with her worldview, she'll try to run you out of town. Which reminds me of another bit of history of Salem, Massachusetts. I guess this is payback for the witch trials? Some women runners in Dublin, Georgia, decided to have an evening power walk at the Dublin Mall a couple of weeks ago. The Dublin Girls Run group, however, is not just about physical health, but spiritual health as well. And, as they often do, and had done at the mall itself since last November, they gathered around to pray first before the exercise. But an eagle-eyed mall cop stepped in quickly to disperse this blatant public display of religiosity. He ran over and informed the group that the mall was private property, and the property owner had decided that prayer was not allowed in the mall. Apparently, they'd had problems with people proselytizing, and so they banned prayer inside the mall. The women, who clearly knew the difference between proselytizing and praying, asked to verify this with the mall manager, and he did indeed confirm that was the policy. I've often heard it said that prayer is not banned in public schools. It's just that kids can't pray over the loudspeaker or teachers can't lead it. Well, fair enough, but given the continued attempts to remove religion from public places, and the tendency of government to give in to even one person who might be offended at the slightest thing, you gotta wonder how far away we might be even here. There is a difference between in-your-face proselytizing and just praying in your group quietly. Although some proselytizing is no more intrusive than those folks giving away free samples or approaching you for a survey, both of which I've experienced at malls, and was somehow able to resist the urge to buy or answer questions. But, you know, maybe that's just me. So that was that, until Todd Starnes, an opinion columnist and radio host at Fox News, brought the issue to light. All of a sudden, the issue was in the headlines. And, equally all of a sudden, the owner of the mall, MCK Properties, issued a clarifying statement to the effect that, yes, the mall employees were all mistaken about the policy, and as long as prayer isn't imposed on shoppers, they have no issue with it. Yep. Everybody misunderstands the policy as soon as someone in upper management has to face the public. It's odd how it works out that way. So, let me hear you evangelize for your opinion. Should colleges be allowed to adhere to certain practices consistent with their religion? Can a college have a religion? And should a place that is open to the public, but still privately owned, be able to indeed ban expressions of religion on their property? Is it A, legal, and B, something we want in this country? Call 267-CALL-CT0, 267-225-5280, or come on down to considerthis.ctpodcasting.com to get your views heard, and they can be on this show either for or especially against. You'll also find a transcript of this episode and easy ways to share it with your social media audience. Let's keep the conversation going. All I'm asking is that you and I consider this.